What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Monday, November 27th, 2017, almost to the end of the month here. And we managed to get through Thanksgiving weekend without any serious violence, not counting, of course, what was going on in the big box stores on Black Friday. And I think it's the time of season's beatings or the most violent time of the year. And the videos were rather alarming. Some people got seriously hurt in all this. But I wonder how much of it is real and how much of it is a marketing ploy. And I say that because several years ago, there were these people camped out in front of local Best Buy. And I had to go to Best Buy. This was like several days before Black Friday. I would never go on Black Friday. And so I stopped to talk to these people, and they admitted that, yes, they were being paid by an advertising company to camp in front of the store and build buzz. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. Black Friday will be wonderful. So I have to wonder how much of this is a put on to try and get that momentum going, whip people into a fury to get on out there and just buy, buy, buy. The component of it that's real is a rather unpleasant picture of the American people, I think. The rest of it, it's fake. They want to get everybody moving quickly and then hopefully sustain that buying fury until Christmas here. Because let's be very honest, all during the year you're pinching your pennies, you're counting your money, you're only buying things when you have to, and then all of a sudden you're being told by society it's okay to go on out and just buy with reckless abandon, and you don't need to feel guilty about it because you're buying for other people. And when it's all over, you and everybody you know have got a bunch of more or less useless junk, and your credit cards are maxed out again. I mean, there are people this Christmas who haven't paid off the credit card bills from last Christmas. So do yourself a favor, think small, think creative, use cash, and sort of break that whole cycle. Because it really is. And I remember the last time I experienced a real Christmas that felt like Christmas was supposed to be was in Munich. And that was a wonderful experience. I doubt it's still there because of all the turmoil with all the migrants and everything that are going on. But basically, we put up some videos, the running of the sheeple and all these videos. But here's the surprising thing. The actual number of people going into the stores on Black Friday was down. Now, the stores are out there saying the sales are up, and that may be due to higher prices on everything as the dollar declines internationally. And yes, there's an online ordering component from people who just don't want to deal with that nonsense at the stores. But one product that did sell out in record numbers this year, this Black Friday, guns. More than 200,000 guns were purchased on Black Friday. That's an all-time record. So this talk about a Trump slump in weapons purchases, it's a bit of a myth here. And part of it may be that we didn't get the Donald Trump that we voted for. And that's an unpleasant reality we have to deal with. Remember what I talked about using cash and staying away from the plastic? Customers of Macy's got a real object lesson on that, because apparently on Black Friday, their nationwide credit card processing system went down. And that just added to the fury, and everybody was there with armloads of stuff, and they couldn't pay for it. It was all over the social media. Now then, getting on to the domestic politics here, over at Judicial Watch, President Tom Fitton is out there saying there are so many allegations of wrongdoing against Hillary Clinton, backed up by hard evidence, that there should be two special counsels to divide up the work. There is that much against her. And another story that's come on out here is that apparently while Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton worked directly with Rosatom. This is the Uranium One scandal. And apparently the Department of State was directly lobbied by the Podesta Group on behalf of the Uranium One deal. So this is dirty as all get out. We need to keep the focus on it. So here we go. Now, Roy Moore is apparently continuing to move forward despite this massive smear campaign launched against him. He's still leading in the polls. And apparently, it all comes down to the fact that nobody is believing these allegations. And it doesn't help, of course, that Beverly Nelson's story has fallen apart. On the issue of the forged yearbook entry, which is very obviously a forgery. There's a very nice sentiment. It's signed by somebody named Roy, and then somebody added Moore, DA, and a date. And not only is it different handwriting, it's a different colored ink. And Gloria Allred, who's got this reputation of being an aggressive feminist lawyer, is refusing to allow the signature to be analyzed by handwriting experts. Okay, apparently we're going to have to switch which of our Skype channels we're using to get away from some issues that we're dealing with. So let's go ahead and do that now. And there we go. And we're back on the air again. And hopefully our sound quality has gone up, although my volume has gone down. One of the things I don't like about Skype, it changes all the audio settings. All right, I'm being told that this is a lot better now, so we're just going to go with this, and hopefully people are going to be able to deal with it. But it's very angering that Skype will change all the audio settings on the computer, and there's no option to switch it off. And it's part of the arrogance of these computer companies. We know what's best for you. You're not allowed to do these things. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates rejoining the network. And getting on back to Roy Moore, he's still leading in the polls. And people just are not buying these allegations against him. And especially when it comes to Beverly Young Nelson, not only is her stepson saying that he thinks she's lying, her ex-husband has now come forward to say that, yeah, he doesn't believe her story, because apparently they were actually dating at the very time that Beverly claimed to have been assaulted by Roy Moore, and the ex-husband is saying she never said a thing about it at the time. Now, one of the other accusers, Tina Johnson, as it turns out, she has a long history of mental health issues, drug problems, and a conviction on felony fraud charges. And apparently at one point, Johnson had to sign documents in Moore's law office to turn custody of her son over to her mother. And after the mother left the room, Johnson claims Moore became aggressive and he attacked my buttocks and so forth and so on. But again, they're falling by the wayside, and Moore's opponents just keep coming up with more women to say, oh, yes, he did horrible things. He was tap dancing barefoot on my shag carpeting and whatever else they can think of, as if we're going to forget about how all these earlier allegations are fake. And they say, well, we've got another one here, and you should believe her because women should be believed. Remember when Hillary Clinton was on the campaign trail and saying, when in the context of Donald Trump, the allegations they were throwing against him, she was out there saying, yes, women ought to be believed. They have a right to be believed. Except, of course, for those trailer trash sluts who were accusing my husband, Bill Clinton. Now, apparently, there has been a civil suit filed against Awans, Podesta Group, and others by a Bernie Sanders supporter. And this is an attempt to basically drag the issue of primary fraud into the public eye, where it needs to be. It needs to be. Now, getting on over to Mueller's office, it's turning out that a lot of the people that he has brought in to the investigation is they're not really as billed in the corporate media. And let me just jiggle some wires here. I'm still getting complaints that the audio is not working. We've got to fix this, absolutely. Interesting little article, though, out of Zero Hedge. Basically, David Willman, in an article in the LA Times, came on out and said that, Mueller has a record of bad judgment. And his main problem is he can never accept that he's made a mistake. And he'll just keep pushing a bad position to unfortunate ends. Now, of course, this makes him the perfect guy to be sicked after Donald Trump. He's going to go after Trump and try and get Trump no matter what, even in the absence of evidence. And it looks like now that he's going after some of Trump's associates and threatening them with long prison terms unless they turn state's evidence, meaning lie. That's how this guy is operating. He's not after the truth. He's not after the facts. He's out to get Donald Trump. Meanwhile, a former official of the Clinton Foundation has been caught up in this Chinese scandal involving a company that operates private schools in China, which has been hit with allegations by parents of abuse of the children, including nudity, sexual molestation, and apparently it's across the entire system. And so the head of this one kindergarten's been fired after China launched a nationwide investigation into this chain of private schools operated by RYB Education Incorporated. And so now we're seeing more of these sickos out there. How do you do that to children? I don't understand it, and I really don't want to understand it. Now, getting on back to Moore, Nancy Pelosi is out there. In my opinion, she's making a complete and utter fool of herself. And she's out there defending Bill Clinton for his alleged rapes, Conyers, Franken, but goes on the attack against Trump. She's calling Moore a child molester, and there hasn't even been an allegation along that line. But the political bias is very obviously on display. Oh, these Democrats, they're just, they're fun guys, and things got out of hand. You shouldn't think anything about it. But Moore is a monster, and Trump's a monster, and they have just got to go. Meanwhile, Conyers has stepped down from the Judiciary Committee, despite Pelosi's support. So I guess Pelosi's coattails aren't what they once were. And Senator Al Franken, who had a press conference earlier today with a rather tepid apology, is apparently concerned that there are more victims out there who could go public. So we'll see what's going on there. But one thing is obvious. Congress is in full-blown panic mode as all these allegations are coming on out. This is a classic case of hoisting with your own petard. They tried to use these sexual allegations against Donald Trump. They failed. Tried to use it against Moore. They failed. And then all of a sudden, it's triggered this eruption of other people coming forward and making accusations against Democrats. And it's spreading. Now, I'd like to keep the focus here on Uranium Gate and Primary Gate and Dossier Gate. But at this point, it looks like the American people are about to get a close-up look at just what kind of people go into politics. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see. Let's try and turn that up again here. That'll hopefully get people on BAM. The problem is when we get commercials and stuff, it's going to be very loud. We've got to fix this audio system. This is absolutely unusable. This is absolutely unusable. Anyway, Susan Sarandon, and I'm a huge fan of her work and a huge fan of her political activism. This is a lady I wish I'd had a chance to meet when I was working in the film industry, but it just didn't work on out. And Susan Sarandon is glad that Hillary did not win the presidency because we would be at war, and says that everyone in Hollywood who was aware of Weinstein's abuse basically perpetuated it. Nobody wanted to stand up to him. Now, the sad reality, Susan, is that even though we did elect Donald Trump, we didn't get the Donald Trump we thought we were voting for, and the wars, unfortunately, are continuing and escalating very, very clearly. Now, here's a little blast from the past year. And apparently a judge, and this is a story over at Government Slaves, a judge is going to take a new look at the files in the 1987 deaths of two boys found on Central Arkansas Railroad tracks. Now, if you've been in this as long as I have, This is basically the train deaths issue. And that's Kevin Ives and Don Henry. And basically, this train was coming along. It was late at night, and it ran over the bodies of these kids. Now, the engineer said they were covered with a tarp, so he didn't see them until it was too late. But Bill Clinton, Governor Bill Clinton's pet medical examiner, Fahmy Malik, said, well, they were obviously smoking huge amounts of marijuana, and they passed out on the tracks, and they were just there when the train hit them, and that was the cause of death. Like anybody would be smoking marijuana on railroad tracks, it's not exactly comfortable. But the families of Kevin Ives and Don Henry were not satisfied with that, and Fahmy Malik did have a reputation for fudging medical exams for political reasons. So the families got their own medical examiner to exhume the body and do a new autopsy, and found that the boys had been beaten and stabbed with a knife before they were dropped on the railroad tracks. So we may see some justice come in that particular case. I'd like to see justice in the Vince Foster case, obviously. Meanwhile, on Saturday, on MSNBC's AM Joy, they interviewed this pollster, Fernand Amandi, who came on in and made the bizarre comment that the entire Republican Party should be put in jail. And he said, they're domestic terrorists. And he just went on this huge rant. So MSNBC is still showing its liberal bias here. Meanwhile, in a touch of irony, CNN is now saying that we should ban the term fake news. And that is a bit of a giggle. Now, CNN and the corporate media came up with fake news to try and tarnish, if you will, to smear the independent media, but it backfired horribly. And we've had all these CNN interviewers who are out there in the streets doing shows, and people will walk behind and say, CNN is fake news. So now they want to ban the term. You will no longer use the term fake news, at least around us. And if you really think about it, this whole situation with Moore, I think is a watershed moment. Because this is the moment when the corporate media and their corporate masters are going to realize that they can't control what America is thinking any longer. I mean, 20, 30, 40 years ago, all of this stuff would have worked. Oh, he molested these women, let's vote him out of office. But over the decades, the corporate media, not to mention the government itself, has destroyed its own credibility. Nobody believes what they have to say anymore, and I think the utter failure of this smear campaign to get rid of Moore is a good example of that. And so this might be when we start seeing the decline of the corporate media and hopefully the rise, with good funding and good equipment, of the independent media. So that's something positive to be thinking about right now. Now, apparently, a former Secret Service agent is about to come on out with Bill and Hillary's Lolita Express activities. Now, the Lolita Express is the name given to Jeffrey Epstein's private plane, where he will fly people down to his little pleasure palace in the Caribbean, and they will do whatever it is that they're doing there. And my guess is Jeff Epstein is recording and videoing them while they do it for blackmail purposes. But, again, here's the weird thing. Don't these people understand they're wide open to blackmail when they get hit like this? We'll be right back. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And the volume should be better for the people over there on BAM User now. And let me see the levels. Yeah, that's looking good. Okay. So getting on back to the war zones, and there's a lot of wars, and Claire and I have noticed there's a lot of warplanes flying over our island, obviously training missions, but there's a lot of it going on. It does seem like we're heading closer and closer to a major war. They're just looking for an excuse to start where they can say it's the other guy who did it. We didn't start the war. They sank the Lusitania. Anyway, apparently Damascus is being shelled by U.S.-backed terrorists. You're not going to see that on the corporate media. Civilians and children are being killed. It was last week there was a story saying that there was talk about doing an attack directly on Damascus. Just go in, get Assad, get rid of him, and it looks like that may be starting here. Now, of course, the feeling around much of the world, certainly within Syria, is that ISIS is routed. All of their bases have been retaken. It is time for the United States to end this open-ended occupation of Syria. Syria wants them gone. Russia and Iran is saying, yeah, it's time for them to be gone. The United States does not have a legal reason to be in there. And Mattis is trying to create one by misquoting a UN resolution against ISIS. But ISIS is gone. And Mattis tried to get around that by saying, well, we're going to stay in Syria just in case they come back. But again, that's up to the Syrian government, which has invited Russia to come help them deal with the terror problem, has invited Iran to come on in and help them deal with the terror problem, and has not invited the United States or granted them permission to come on in and mess with their country. So this is a clear-cut case of U.S. aggression against a sovereign state. Now, the Pentagon is admitting that we now have 2,000 troops in Syria. I wouldn't trust that number. And again, every one of those troops, every weapon, every airplane flying overhead, represents an act of aggression against a sovereign country that has done absolutely nothing to the United States of America. And once again, the Syrian army has seized U.S.-made arms in terrorist positions in Deir ez-Zor. So, the bombs go on, I guess. Now, over at the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, their executive council in The Hague, they had this meeting in which the U.S. Tried to pass a very tough anti-Syria resolution, which would have included sanctions, forced inspections, and so forth, and it actually got voted down. And actually, the U.S., rather than see the vote go against them, when it was obvious the vote wasn't going to be in their favor, they withdrew the draft document. And I think it's sending a clear message that the rest of the world is sick and tired of the United States game playing and all the lies, and they just don't want to go along with it anymore. Meanwhile, the humanitarian situation at Syria's Al-Tamf is getting very difficult because the U.S. has now sealed the zone around their base, and so the Rukban camp cannot get access to humanitarian and medical aid. They're under siege right now. Now, you've probably seen it all over the news that the U.S. has dropped the Kurds like hot potatoes after ISIS has collapsed. The reasoning being that the Kurds failed in their mission to break off a chunk of Syria. They failed in their mission to break off a chunk of Iraq. Maybe, maybe not. Because according to an article over an activist post, U.S. forces have been videotaped supplying weapons to the Kurds 2 days after the announcement that it was all going to stop. Up in Afghanistan, the bombing is continuing there. The U.S. is on track to drop 3 times more bombs on Afghanistan this year. Doesn't look like we're winning up there. They're just trying to make it look like they're not losing. Same thing in Syria. Meanwhile, Israel is vowing to destroy Iranian positions within 40 kilometers of the Syrian border. They're trying to make a cause about it, but apparently Syria's President Assad said, yeah, we'll agree to that. We have a caller waiting on the line, Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Hey, you sound a lot better now. You were dropping in and out, but on the breaks, it was fine.
I don't know what's going on. I'm on my second machine trying to solve these Skype issues, and I got a third machine which arrived today, and I'm going to drop that in this afternoon. But it's very obvious that Skype has become incredibly unreliable since Microsoft updated it, and they don't seem to be in a rush to fix the problems.
Mike, I bet you the CIA checked. Everybody check the closets, check the cabinets. Might be a midget under there pulling the wires.
Could very well be. Somebody could just be pinging the heck out of RIPs to try and slow the traffic. There's all kinds of things that could be done.
Mike, on this whole thing, you know, like with Russia, don't people realize how long this has been going on? This has been going on, like, since the Cold War ended. You know, since Ukraine, the first Orange Revolution, and then, you know, the Maidan Revolution, and then you have Sochi. You know, don't go to Sochi because, you know, the terrorists are going to blow something up. Yeah, don't go to New York because the buildings collapse supposedly from, you know, terrorists flying their plane there. But don't go to Sochi and drink the water. It's brown, you know, because one hotel room had a bad pipe in it. You know, Mike, God forbid, you know, the doping scandal. You know, that's another. And sanctions. Look, this is all about geoeconomics at this point. You know, South Korea needs to grow a set, and somebody in the Europe needs to grow a set and start being adults, you know, because this is, like, dragging on, Mike. I mean,
you know? It's dragging on, and the problem is everybody is scrambling to acquire, meaning steal money, to pay off their private central banks, and what they don't understand is there isn't enough money to pay off that debt. That's the way private central banks are set up. The debt will always exceed the available money supply. And that's the trap. That's the enslavement.
It's just a shame. I mean, the whole doping scandal aggravates me because it's obviously political/geoeconomic. You know, the whole Russia dope this, they want to not have them going to the South Korea Olympics from the last time they threw. I mean, come on. This is so obvious, Mike.
Yeah, it is obvious.
But the Russians and Chinese should go their own way for the Olympics then. Do their own Olympics. Just like the BRICS and the Shanghai they need to pull away from, you know, they just need to get out of the Western thing. And when China gets hooked up with the natural gas, Russia just cut off all of Europe. Let them freeze the freaking death, Mike. Screw them. I'm sorry if anybody's on the phone, going to call in from Europe, but, you know, your own government's doing this. You know, I mean, like, you know, Germany, hey, Cut them off, Mike. Cut them off.
Well,
you know, the future's the East, Mike.
I remember, you know, in times long gone where the idea was that the Olympics were a politics-free zone. And that goes all the way back to the original Olympics where these countries would literally stop in the middle of wars and everybody would get together for the games. And you didn't do war, you didn't do violence, you just did the games, and that was how it was supposed to work. And the modern Olympics wanted to emulate that. Of course, Jesse Owens threw a monkey wrench into German politics there in the 1936 Olympics. But it really got out of hand when the U.S. boycotted the Olympics, which was just crushing to those kids who'd spent their entire lives training for a chance at those games. And they really ought to stop messing around with it. And I'm in agreement. I think this doping scandal is just another way to poke a finger in Putin's eye, to try and goad him into doing something that can be seized on to move the war agenda forward.
They need to pull out of the West with dealing with the United States. We're always going to be backstabbing them, Mike.
We're doing
so
it to the entire world. You know, the United States government has gotten this reputation of being, you know, constant liars, double-crossing even their friends. And how can you conduct a reasonable foreign policy with a reputation like that?
Well, I mean, sanctions are an act of war. If somebody's put sanctions on you, say, that means if you go into a store, you wouldn't be able to buy anything or do any deals with that particular store or this or that. That's how sanctions are. It's an act of war. It's political/geoeconomics. So, I mean, this is going to drag on. The same with the Mueller investigation. Trump's not going to get anything done. Not that I'm a big fan of Trump anymore, you know, because he could have drained the swamp when he chose not to. now he's in with the swamp. You know,
yeah, he's turned into the swamp thing.
The Russians are not getting out of Syria because, you know, remember, they signed a deal with the two bases, right? Plus, they got a base in Iran now, you know, that's leased, I believe.
And yes.
They're not leaving. You know, the United States might have a couple, you know, 13 bases, so they say, but how big are the bases? You know, like, they're not. Damascus, if you look at the big cities, Mike, in Syria, they've all been cleared of the terrorists the United States have been arming.
Yes.
The United States is only in the northeast partly, but all the major cities. Remember that the Syria is mostly desert, so I don't care if they have a base in the middle of the desert. They're not they're not getting in the way of the commerce. The cities are the wherever you control the cities in there is, you know, you got it. You know, that's the Russians been bombing ISIS. You know, that's funny. You know, the Russians have been bombing ISIS. We've been arming them and moving them around as a proxy army. You know, because we've been fighting them for 5 years and they've been spreading. All of a sudden, the Russians come in a year and a half later. They pushed them out. I mean, that doesn't take a genius to figure what was going on.
Let me clarify something. We've been at war in Syria for, it's actually closer to 6 years now, but for the first few of those years, it had nothing to do with ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and it was literally this thing about, oh, Assad is an evil tyrant, he's gassing his own people. But so soon after the claim about Saddam and his nuclear weapons, they couldn't get any traction with that. So they rebranded halfway through and said, well, we're not there to attack Syria. We're there as part of the war on terror, and we're going to go after ISIS. But the U.S. kept bombing things like water treatment plants and petroleum facilities and food storage. And they just kept saying, oh, gee, our pilots have got such lousy eyes. We're sorry we keep missing the terrorists, but we mean well.
And now we made enemies of not just the Turks because we slapped them in the face, but also the Kurds are not going to like us now because it's been like the 15th time where we stabbed them in the back?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I want to talk about Saudi Arabia real quick.
Okay.
MBS, you know, Mohammed bin Salman.
Yeah.
You know, how Thomas Friedman and the New York Times and all these other, you know, newspapers are saying he's a moderate, he's great, he's a hero to the Saudis, right? And yet he's bombing Yemen, starving men, women, children, and babies, you know, giving them cholera or causing them to get cholera. I don't know that. But not only that, but he's strong-arming, like, his own people, the billionaires, to get money out of them. That's what they call a moderate, great person? Like, the guy's a scumbag.
Yeah, he is, but the scumbags are the only ones who are still willing to be friends with the U.S. government. Like attracts like.
Yeah, Thomas Friedman was wrong also on Iraq. Remember that?
Yes.
He's a scumbag, too.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Joe in Rhode Island. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. There was an article in the Rhode Island paper yesterday. Maybe you could decipher it for me. Russian president signs bill targeting foreign media. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a bill allowing Russia to register international media outlets as foreign agents in a quid pro quo, to the U.S. demands made to the Kremlin-funded TV channel.
Well, they targeted
foreign
Russia Today and Sputnik News.
What's that, Mike?
I said they targeted Russia Today and Sputnik News. The U.S. The U.S. forced Russia Today and Sputnik News to register as foreign agents, which is rather amazing when you consider that AIPAC has never been required to register as a foreign agent.
Keep going. I'm listening.
Well, I mean, that's basically it. And so, yeah, this is Russia basically coming back with this little tit-for-tat diplomatic warfare, saying that American media operating in Russia will now also have to register as foreign agents.
Now, what do you mean by foreign agents? Is that spies?
Well, if wielding influence on behalf of a foreign power. And what's really interesting is the U.S. law that was used against Russia Today and Sputnik dates back to 1938, when there was concerns that Nazi-supported media in the U.S. was propagandizing the American people in favor of what was going on in Germany, which at the time, before the war actually started, Germany was looking really good because the Nazis had thrown out their private central bank imposed on them by the Treaty of Versailles at the end of World War I, and they started issuing a value-based currency, and, of course, their economy just took off. They called it the German miracle. And, in fact, Adolf Hitler was Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1938 for this amazing change. But, of course, this threw all the other private central banks on Earth into a total panic out of concern that people would say, we want to have this kind of an economy rather than this private banks create money out of thin air and loan it in circulation at interest. So that's where that law originated. And basically the idea was that if you're forced to register as a foreign agent, it imposes certain restrictions on you. It can be used to tarnish you and deny you entrance to certain venues, certain meetings. It can cut off your access in a lot of ways. And so it was, again, it was just a way of sticking a finger in Putin's eye, and Putin is now sticking back.
Is this now a meltdown of that relationship economically, too? Would you say? In other words, a lot of corporations have, in the last 15, 20 years, gone to Russia and vice versa. Some have come here, part of that global economy. So there have been many transactions taking place economically. And, you know, I seem to think that these are the two big players here that are having a major, major problem. I don't think this is a minor thing. I think this is an economic meltdown.
The economy is
in China and North Korea.
Go ahead.
China and North Korea. Actually, you know, they're still communist nations. You know what I'm saying? They still wear the communist uniforms and you know, right in your face. So is that relationship, along with Vietnam, is that relationship melting down economically? And maybe that's why the president had to go there recently to shore that up, because of this meltdown that's taking place with Russia. Let's face it. These are the two big players on the block, Russia and the United States, and all the countries that are going to side with Russia and all the ones that, with the U.S.
The relationship with Russia has already been under attack with all these anti-Russian sanctions. There was that harebrained attempt at an oil price war to harm Russia's economy. So we don't really have an economic relationship with Russia anymore. We're in a state of economic war with them.
So, in other words, our corporations are pulling out of there and coming back home? Is that the idea?
Most of the corporations were still in the United States but doing business with Russian companies, and now they've had to stop. And it's been a hardship for many of them. Some of these companies have gone out of business. They've had to close their doors.
So what's your prediction for the next couple of months?
Boy, that's a hard one. It does look like the U.S. is desperate to get a major global war going before our own economy collapses, so they've got somebody to blame it on.
Yeah. The stakes are high, Mike.
They are. They're very high.
Yes. Okay, Mike, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. And getting on back to the news here, over in Dubai, their security chief went on Twitter and literally issued a demand to bomb Al Jazeera. And he described it as the machine of terrorism, the channel of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Al-Nusra Front. And so this guy, I mean, we're at a stage right now where they're talking about literally attacking media sites. And we know that Israel's been doing that in Gaza as well. So it's a tough time to be in the media, corporate or independent. We're all walking around with targets on our backside here. Now, over in Bahrain, their security forces have surrounded the house of prominent Shiite cleric Sheikh Issa Qassam. He's the Shiites' spiritual leader. And to put that in context, imagine somebody surrounding the Vatican with tanks. That's how serious they're going to take this. And needless to say, the Shiites are very upset about this. Lithuania, all of a sudden, has transferred $2 million worth of weapons to Ukraine. And that includes more than 7,000 Kalashnikov rifles, 2 million cartridges, 80 machine guns, several mortars, anti-tank weapons, and other military equipment. So it looks like Poroshenko's getting ready to uncork for real on those eastern Ukrainian republics. Meanwhile, down in Yemen, 50,000 children so far have died of starvation and disease just this year alone. This is from the organization Save the Children. And they're saying the continuing blockade by the Saudi-led coalition is going to increase the death rate. And again, it's horrific. You don't make war on civilians. You don't make war on children. Now, countering that is a story that came out of Blacklisted News that is saying that Saudi Arabia's coalition is showing signs of falling apart regarding Yemen because this war has gone on far longer than anybody expected. And remember, when this was cranked up, it was Mohammed bin Salman that was basically working as defense minister. And so this is seen as his failing. Meanwhile, over in Pakistan, their protests have swelled to a nationwide crisis. And we may be seeing another regime change there. Whether it's organic or from outside remains to be seen. We're going to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back. Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, today, Japan came on out with a tweet from Mikio Ishida, the Tokyo bureau chief for Channel News Asia, saying that the Japanese government had detected a signal from North Korea on preparations towards a new test of a ballistic missile. Now, we need to be careful here. I mean, North Korea hasn't done anything in a very, very long time, and there's been no confirmation from anybody else. And so this article actually goes on to admit that there's a possibility that this is a trial balloon by Japan's press meant to incite a nationalist mood and push through Abe's militant agenda. Because Abe wants to build Japan into a new military might. So then. Now, a top North Korean official is trying to reassure other countries in the area, China, South Korea, Japan, saying you've got nothing to worry about because North Korea's nuclear program is only to deter a U.S. attack. And North Korea has no intention of using these very expensive devices on any other country, knowing that that would trigger a war, which North Korea does not want. The whole point of a nuclear arsenal is to deter aggression, to prevent a nuclear war. And it makes a lot of sense. But the U.S. is still over there doing its saber rattling, along with all the carrier groups that are over there. Apparently, U.S. F-22 and F-35 aircraft are being sent to South Korea for massive war games. Basically, it's a show of force. They're going to have at least 230 warplanes zooming around the sky there and making stink face at North Korea. Interestingly enough, though, according to CNBC, North Korea and Syria are starting to draw closer together. And that, of course, is bad news for the U.S. because they're going to be cooperating on missile technology and chemical weapons. But then when you've got the U.S. running around the world invading sovereign countries on the basis of lies, sooner or later there are going to be alliances that form to try and prevent that from going any further. Now, China has put their nuclear bombers on 24/7 alert amid growing fears of World War III and the tensions between the U.S. and North Korea. This is matching a move that the U.S. just did a couple of weeks ago, where they now have ready-to-fly bombers on the ground, 24/7 crews standing by, ready to go. We're not quite back to the point of flying the aircraft out to the fail-safe points and orbiting them around. But that may be next. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification, and we will be right back. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. We're talking about how China has put their nuclear bombers on 24/7 alert, ready to fly at a moment's notice out of concern that the U.S. is going to start World War III for real, which is a valid concern. Because when the U.S. economy implodes and it looks imminent, if the government doesn't have a war to blame it on, then we the people are going to blame Wall Street and Washington, D.C., as they richly deserve. China is now flying some of those bombers over the disputed South China Sea. They're saying they're just routine combat air patrols, but again, it's exercising their territorial prerogatives there. Because it is the South China Sea. And remember, at the end of World War II, there was an agreement, the Cairo Convention, that said that all of these islands, which had been seized by Japan, were returned to China, and the U.S. signed that agreement. So the United States does not have any kind of a legal issue to go on in and start grabbing these lands. It's piracy, if you want to call it that. Now, as you know, the United Nations is putting together a database of companies that are doing business with Israeli companies located in the illegal settlements in the West Bank. And to nobody's surprise, Israel and the Trump administration are trying to block this. They're trying to block the publication of the database. And apparently, Israel's UN Ambassador Danny Dannon said, we will do everything we can to ensure that this list does not see the light of day. Does that include burning down the UN there, Danny? Now, we've been talking about weapons. We've been talking about how America's weapons are worn out from 16 years of war, and the new weapons coming out of the military-industrial complex just aren't very good. They're expensive. They look cool. They don't really work all that well. And a lot of people are already concerned that the F-35, the most expensive weapons development program in all of history, is not going to be able to do very well against the current frontline jets of both Russia and China. And now the problem is going to get a little bit more difficult because Russia is already working on their next generation aircraft, the MiG-41. And they're saying that one is going to be ready to fly in 2020. And the MiG-31s are not going to be obsolete before the 2030s. So it's a formidable air force. Meanwhile, as part of Abe's more militant approach to Japan, Japan is now starting to build their own long-range air-launched cruise missiles. Basically, it's the Japan Tomahawk. And apparently research on these missiles are going to begin next year. They're not saying what the potential range is going to be or what warheads it will carry. But everybody's arming on up. Now, here's an article that came out of the Daily Mail in Great Britain. Putin's Prince Vladimir revealed world's deadliest sub can launch 20 nuclear warheads and destroy cities 6,000 miles away. And they're talking about the Bore class. And some of them are already at sea. They're going to build a total of 8. They're expecting completion by 2025. But interestingly enough, the Daily Mail makes a mistake when it says the sub can launch 20 nuclear warheads. It can launch 20 nuclear missiles, but each missile carries 6 warheads, plus anywhere between 10 and 40 decoys. So that is some serious firepower. It's basically a follow-on to the Typhoon class. It's smaller, has a smaller crew as well. But it's definitely a key part of Russia's nuclear triad. Meanwhile, Russia has confirmed that their Zircon missile, which is a hypersonic 6,000-mile-per-hour missile, is ready for deployment. And this thing can fly up to eight times the speed of sound. It's going to be very, very difficult to stop. Now, getting on back to the issue about America's weapons just being worn out, you've probably been hearing lately about all these crashes of aircraft. And thankfully, the last one, they got most of the crew back alive. We had this terrible helicopter accident off the north of Oahu about a year ago. The entire crew was lost. But apparently, this appears to be a maintenance issue or just the fact that these airframes are wearing out. Airframes only have so much lifespan in them. And apparently, non-combat plane crash fatalities have spiked this year compared to last year. And according to Fox News, 22 U.S. military planes have crashed so far this year while flying non-combat operations. That's up 38% from last November. And 37 U.S. service members have died in these accidents. So the current death toll is 130% higher than the number of servicemen killed in non-combat crashes from the year before. All right, we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network here. We were talking about the Fat Leonard scandal. This thing is spreading all over the place, and it's a bad one. And apparently, one-third of all Navy brass are caught up in this thing. Hundreds of military officers, including some of the highest-ranking brass in the Navy, are accused of helping this shadowy Asian merchant fleece Uncle Sam for tens of millions of dollars. And again, you're not going to hear this on the corporate media. It's called the Fat Leonard scandal, and the investigations into the bribes and corruption, one of the biggest in U.S. military history. The Navy has already investigated 440 people, including 60 admirals, for taking bribes in exchange for phony government contracts and sweetheart deals. That means the Navy suspects that up to one-third of all of its admirals were on the take from a foreign agent. Think you can win a war with a command structure like that? Okay, we're going to take a phone call here. Angelique in Vermont, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, is that you, Mike?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I had a little bit of good news for you. And a little bit of bad news. Which do you want to hear first?
Give me the good news.
Okay. If you look up on the internet, you'll find out that a few years back in Montana and places like that, these, like, oranges, reddish, flying saucers went over. And this is an easy lookup on the internet. They go, oh, my gosh, we can't fire our missiles. They're all bad. They're out of control. Okay, so you fast forward what they did to Russia, one of their missile places and something like that, the flying saucers did the opposite. They turned them on.
Yeah, okay, and give me the bad news now.
Okay, I know you don't believe in weather modification, but yeah, you could talk to a few million people in California that know better. Okay, Rendlesham Forest, the Bentwaters incident. I'm sure you've heard of Linda Moulton Howell, right?
No.
Oh, she's won several Emmys and a Peabody and stuff. She's very, very famous. Anyway, what happened in Rendlesham Forest, it was, I think, something like 3 days, and these flying saucers were going toodle, 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 and they, because it was apparently at the time, this is 1980, the NATO was part of, it was the biggest nuclear weaponry and fun things like that. And these flying saucers went over. And
okay, Angelique, let me explain where I'm coming from. I have no doubt that the universe is full of intelligent life. I can't think of a reason why they would bother with our planet. It's like when you drive down the freeway, do you stop and visit every anthill that you pass? We know that much of the flying saucer fever, if you will, was created by the military to conceal the development of Black Project aircraft. And if you go back and you look at the history of television shows and movies that fanned up flying saucers, aliens, and UFOs, you will find they're sitting right on top the development schedules of things like the SR-71, the F-117, various drones, and so forth and so on. So, Angelique, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here, and we're going to get back here to the news. So thank you for
that. Okay, love your
program. Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Larry Silverstein, following 9/11, made out like a bandit. Now, he was a little frustrated because he tried to file two claims with his insurance for terror attacks because he viewed the attack on each of his twin towers at the World Trade Center as a separate terror attack, and the judge said, no, it's one terror attack here. But he still found a way to get his money because apparently he had sued American Airlines and United Continental Holdings and other aviation defendants, saying, well, they let it happen. And apparently they have reached a $95 million settlement. They don't call him Lucky Larry for nothing. Now, getting into the economic news here, BRICS is now considering setting up their own gold trading system. They're starting to understand that as the paper currencies, as the fiat currencies start to decline, hang on just a second. Okay, so BRICS is setting up this gold trading system. And because they understand, as the fiat currencies collapse, people are turning to gold. I mean, banks and nations are already settling their accounts in gold, and more people are turning to gold as a preservation of wealth as the fiat currencies start to hyperinflate, and that includes the U.S. dollar here. So it makes sense for BRICS to be setting up their own gold trading system, and I think we'll see more of those around the world. Now, for those of you who are on Obamacare and who got really, really tired of the constant increase in premiums, you're not off the hook. Because if you are on Medicare Part B, your premiums are going to rise by 23% in 2018 for almost half of you. So one way or the other, the cost of health care continues to go out of control here. Now, everyone's talking about Bitcoin, and it's going on up there, and I smell tulips, to be very, very honest. But there's an aspect that a lot of people don't think about, and that is the cost of Bitcoin mining. There's the cost of the machine itself and the cost of electricity. And according to this article over domagood.com, the electricity used to mine Bitcoin this year is bigger than the annual usage of 159 countries. And that's a lot of electricity. So, here's an interesting article. This came out of Sputnik News. They're talking about New World Capitalism. And all of a sudden, with the rise of the private space ventures, SpaceX and all these other companies, they're looking back at the Outer Space Treaty, which is half a century old. And business owners are saying it's time for a rethink. It's time to go on back, because this Outer Space Treaty placed severe restrictions on what was going to be done. It was actually modeled on some of the treaties regarding research in Antarctica. You can go to Antarctica. You can do research. You can't set military posts up there. You can't open up a luxury resort. And they had the same restrictions in space. And so the owners of these businesses, these private space ventures, are saying, if we're going to turn this into a new economic frontier, if you will, the rules have to be changed so that we can put up orbital resorts. or resorts on the moon, or space flight tourism, which does make sense, because if space can be turned into a profit center, then the progress in space exploration is going to really take off. Reminds me of this science fiction story. I think it was Robert Heinlein, the man who sold the moon, was basically forecasting that. Now, turning over to the Europe and the immigrant problem, apparently a car carrying migrants sped toward police officers in the northern French city of Calais, with at least one serviceman receiving injuries. And apparently the officers stopped the vehicle to carry out a search, and these migrants hit them. Apparently they were heading toward the Channel Tunnel to try and get through there, and the security forces had to open fire. So that open borders, globalist thing is working out really, really well. Now, angry Republicans in Theresa May's constituency of Maidenhead, Berkshire, have started a movement to get the Prime Minister banned from all the pubs in the area. Now, it's obviously a symbolic gesture, but basically their motivation is they're upset over government cuts to policing services. And the pub landlords have banded together and are said to be furious about a £413 million cut to the police budget over the last 12 months, saying that the lack of funds puts their staff and customers in danger, especially because of the migrant violence. And so they're going through this symbolic move to ban her from the pubs to express their ire. Now, Andrew Neil on Twitter basically caused a tremendous upset, claiming Germany's current political crisis is the worst the country has faced since the 1940s. And the Remainers are absolutely furious because they're trying to sell the British people on changing their mind, canceling Brexit. Europe is wonderful. Europe is just beautiful. And the British people know that's not true. They're seeing all the stories about the migrant violence in places like Sweden, the out-of-control rapes. Joggers now have to have armed escorts. They don't want to be part of it anymore. Now, in Germany, it's looking worse and worse for Angela Merkel. And she's facing an imminent demise. Her party is scrambling for a new leader. And she's actually being told by her own party that she should resign, because the current polls in Germany are showing support for brand new elections in Germany. And Angela Merkel and her party took a drubbing in the last one, and it's probably going to do a lot worse in this one as well, now that she's failed to form a government. And life without Merkel, people are starting to think about that. The German far right is relishing their newly acquired power and influence. So, now, deposed Catalan leader Carles Puigdemont has branded the European Union a club of decadent and obsolete countries, and is saying that a British-style catalexit may be the solution. They're not going to ask for permission to go, they're just going to go. But it's very obvious at this point the European Union is in serious trouble. There are cracks showing up all over the place. Now, here's a little bit of good news. Remember Wolfgang Halbig? He's the professional school safety expert who challenged the official story of Sandy Hook. And in an attempt to silence him, there was this civil suit filed against him by Leonard Posner. And apparently, just as Leonard Posner was about to provide a video deposition in the case, he dropped the lawsuit. It's gone away. Now, obviously, Wolfgang Halbig is still dealing with the accumulated legal bills to date, but at least the case is now dropped. We'll be right back after these few words. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, there's been another vandalism of black churches. And you're not going to hear this one on the corporate media for a reason. To put it politely, the authorities have ruled out bias as the motive of the vandalism of five predominantly black churches after charging a 45-year-old Morristown resident on Sunday. And it turned out the gentleman himself is black, and he used to attend one of the churches. So, again, unless it's a white guy doing these things, the media is not interested. They're trying to push that agenda. White people are bad. Apparently, there was this nurse over in, let me scroll on down to this one, Indiana. This nurse tweeted on out saying that male babies ought to be killed at birth. That's really getting out there. The good news is she's been fired for that. Now, for those of you who were watching football over the Thanksgiving holiday, you were one of a few, because since this whole anthem protest kneeling thing began, the NFL ratings have plummeted, and the TV networks still carrying their games have lost over $500 million. So they're not very happy about that at all. And again, the NFL rules say you have to stand and face the flag or face the sound where the anthem is being played. They should have enforced those rules. They wanted to get on out there and make a political statement. They're paying the price for it. People don't go to football games to have politics rubbed in their face. It's just like the Roman Colosseum. People went there to watch the fun and games and not have to think about their problems. That's true of all entertainment. That's why Busby Berkeley's movies were such a hit during the Depression of the 1930s. People would go on in, and it would just be a fantasy, and it would distract them. You start inserting politics into entertainment, the entertainment box office will suffer. Now, apparently, there's this organization, it's a nonprofit called Unlocking Autism, and apparently the founder of this was found deceased in a canal behind the Roadway Inn where they were staying. And apparently she just walked outside for a smoke and never came back. And they're out there saying, well, it doesn't have anything to do with her autism advocacy. Well, it does if she was basically looking at the causes of autism. Because that's a big stink. That's a big scandal. Where we have this medical industrial complex that in the name of higher profits is out there saying, okay, so we're making some kids autistic. And you have to look at the numbers. I mean, before widespread vaccination, autism was rare. It was one in thousands. And today it's like one in 30, some absurd number like that. There's obviously something going on there, and nobody wants to look at it. Because the lawsuits would just shut all these companies down. And the agenda is still out there to force the vaccine agenda. There's a story that came out of Investment Watch blog where apparently Child Protective Services literally grabbed a child from the parents when the parents refused vaccinations of the newborn baby. And they're going to court, and hopefully they'll get their child back. But, I mean, that's just absurd. We're being treated like livestock, like cattle. We're not allowed to choose for ourselves what food we're going to have or not have. We're not allowed to decide what medications we can take and what medications we'll refuse. They're treating us like property, not like human beings. And it might be okay if they were genuinely interested in our well-being, but they're not. It's just forcing you to buy a product that's not very good and very often is dangerous. That's all it is. We're a nation where ordinary people like you and I exist only to make the rich richer. And if we're not doing that, then they've got no use for us whatsoever. Now, here's where it gets really bizarre. Article out of the Express in Great Britain is saying that resistance to vaccine is all because of Russian propaganda and fake news over the MMR vaccine. Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And I'm still marveling over this article in the Express, you know, that all doubt about vaccine safety is coming from Russia. Those evil Russians, they want you to be sick. And you have to laugh. I mean, it's an utterly ridiculous situation, but that's what the corporate media is out there trying to push. Anything bad, it's Russia. Anything that criticizes corporate interests, oh, it's Russia. Russia's being evil. Russia's going back to being the Soviet Union. Be afraid. Now, if you're on a computer, and obviously we are around here, you need to be very careful because there is this massive botnet. It's called Necris. It's the world's biggest botnet, and it is flooding the internet with emails with all kinds of ransomware in there, including Scarab ransomware, the Drydex banking Trojan, TrickBot banking Trojan, Lockheed ransomware, and Jaff ransomware, and it's now spreading a new version of Scarab. And apparently this botnet is out there sending 2 million emails per hour to computers all over the globe. So be very careful about opening email that you don't know where it's from or what is in it. So, now then, Pokemon Go has sort of come and gone, but along the way, it had a downside. And you have to wonder what they were thinking. I mean, we already know that trying to walk around with your face buried in your electronic device is a recipe for an accident. And there are some places that are actually now trying to pass laws saying things like, you cannot cross the street with your face buried in your smartphone, which I think is a good idea. Because Claire and I had a near miss down at the shopping mall a few weeks ago, where we're getting ready to pull into a parking space, and this guy was just oblivious, literally walked right in front of the car while we were moving. So anyway, Pokemon Go is luring people to try and see the world through their smartphone, and it has led to car accidents and injuries, and at least 2 people have been killed playing this thing. So, bad concept, and probably something you ought not to allow your children to have. Let's take a phone call. Tom in Florida, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good day, Michael. Michael, what's on my mind is I'm watching the fake news, and they're talking about DACA, and they're going to close down the government with DACA. I say DACA, I'm all out of here. You know, it might be their dream, but it's our nightmare. And, yeah, Michael, another thing is, you know, if they let these DACA people stay here, you know, what are they going to have, sanctuaries for people who rob banks and steal cars and steal food? I mean, this is off the chain. And then you got all these people in New York now. They're all coming to Florida. They're actually turning Florida into New York, like they did Carolinas. That's what the Democrats' modus operandi is, to flood these other states that are kind of red to purple or maybe blue. This is nothing but a Democratic ploy by them to turn these states over to the Democrats and this liberalism. And, you know, and another thing, Michael, there's so many Puerto Ricans pouring into Florida right now. It's unbelievable. I mean, and they're not going to vote. I don't care if Trump gave them a brand new house and a car and a boat. He still would vote Democrat. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It is.
And then you got these idiots in New York. You got these idiots in New York coming down here. They're screaming about their tax in New Jersey and New York, how much high tax they got and state, federal, local tax. And then these idiots are going to come to Florida. I mean, look at these morons. They vote for these liberal swines over there in New York, and then they want to come down here and ruin this state. And there ain't no such thing as Southern hospitality anymore. These people are the most rudest animals I've ever met. I was up in Ocala with my brother, and these people are so damn rude, it's disgusting. And they're coming here, they're not coming here to compliment, they're trying to take over the whole state. It's unbelievable. And then you're getting hit from the South, they're bringing all the South Americans there from the South, and they're pincering it from the North with all the New Yorkers and New Jerseyans. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
Crazy.
But this is all part of Soros' grand design to blur the human population together into this single mass without a clear idea of who they are, no historical identity, no regional identity, no culture. Our culture, wherever you are, it's being erased. It's being diluted. And when you look at the violence that this is bringing in with it, both here and in Europe, you have to you have to ask yourself, what are our leaders thinking about when they're letting this happen?
Well, Michael, in the southern part of the state, they don't even want to speak English because you got all these other groups coming in from Central America, Haiti, and all this. So it's like, and you got voodoo. They have the voodoo dead animals all over Miami. I mean, you got dead goats, and it's insanity what's going on here. I mean, there's blood spilled on plenty. There'll be hundreds of pennies on the ground with blood on them, goat blood or chicken blood. It's just amazing. And you know what? They have, and I know Trump is doing everything in his power to save this country, and I hope he does. But what these Demorats have done to this country over the last 6 years is disgraceful. Example, Michael, all you have to do is look at Detroit. Look at Detroit, Michigan. It was the richest city in 1953. I looked it up on the news. Up on the computer, I was checking it out. Detroit was probably the richest cosmopolitan city in 1953. Look at it now.
Yep.
It looks like an atomic bomb hit the place. And that's because of Democrats, just like they're doing in New York, just like they're trying to do it here. Look at the governor of Puerto Rico is a good guy, but the woman's a communist. She's a full-blown commie, the mayor of San Juan.
Yes.
And that's what you got. You got the Bolsheviks in charge, like you say, Soros. But I think it was higher than Soros. I think it has to do with Rothschilds and everybody else. And those leftist weirdos.
From the point of view of the Rothschilds, that they'd rather have one planet under one private central bank than having to go through the trouble of having all these individual private central banks in all these nations. And they've got pretty much the whole planet. I think there's only three countries yet that refuse private central banking.
You're absolutely right, Michael, and that's what it is. It's a modus operandi that they have perpetrated on the American public because, and I'll be honest with you, Michael, what's happened here in the United States, they use the women, the Anglo women against the males, like they have such a big heart, bleeding heart. I mean, it's like, that's called soccer moms or bleeding hearts, whatever. But, you know, it's absolutely true. It's nothing but a big brainwash. It's nothing but a mindwashing by the powers that be. Come on, who's kidding you?
Well, exactly what's really alarming to me is this open display of hostility to anybody who's white, and it's completely unjustified. It's built up in this idea that we were all slave holders at some point, but the reality is back at the height of the antebellum plantation era, only 1.5 people owned slaves. Some of them were black themselves. My ancestors ran a station on the Underground Railroad, and so I reject collective guilt or responsibility for things that happened before I was born, and so should all of you. Just this idea that, no, I don't bear any guilt for what happened to slavery. That was all over and done with before I was even born, and I'm not to blame, and I will not be held responsible.
Well, you're right, Michael. And listen, I saw a thing on the History Channel about 6 months ago where the two biggest slave owners in the United States in 1865, before Lincoln got assassinated, were black men.
Yes.
Two of the biggest plantation owners in the United States in 1865 were black owners of slaves.
Yes.
I don't know if people know that.
Most people don't know is the first slaves in the United States were actually white. They were Irish.
They were Irish indentured.
Yes.
Indentured slave, of course. They were Irish way before the blacks got here.
Yes.
And the reason the blacks got here, Michael, I read up on it. I was like, I was really perplexed. Why was the reason? Well, they were the blacks were selling each other in Africa like cattle, and they wanted rum. They wanted big bath of rum, and I guess they wanted some cinnamon or whatever. I guess it was some kind of there's a few things that the United States had at that time that were actually Portugal was the biggest slave trader of all.
Yeah, I was going to say the United States did not run its own slave trade ships. Most of them were owned by Europeans, and they were engaging in a triangle trade where, you know, goods from Europe down to Africa to trade for slaves. The slaves were then taken to the United States and sold, and the money went back to Europe.
That's correct. Michael, believe it or not, when they used to take the slaves to the markets to sell them, the ones that they rejected, they would ship them on to Cuba and South America. They were going to Brazil, Cuba, the ones that were real strong and looked healthy, they would keep them here in the United States. I read up on it. And the ones that they were look weak, they'd put them back on a ship and send them southbound.
Yes.
That was a triangle of trade, of course. And like I said, the biggest slave owners in 1865 before Lincoln got assassinated were black men.
Yes.
They were slaves. They were free slaves. And by the way, if you look at Lincoln's papers, none of the people want to talk about this. If you look at Lincoln's papers 3 weeks before he got assassinated, he was going to put them all back to Liberia. Because I read his paper. I read Lincoln's paper. I almost fell on the ground when I read it. Because some of his archival papers were saying that as long as there are blacks and whites in the United States, they'll never look. You can read it up, Michael, and you can do a show on it. He said Lincoln's saying that we'll never be able to come together. That was in Lincoln's handwriting, and that's when he was going to put Monrovia in Liberia, and that was going to send all the slaves back to Liberia in Africa.
Well, something else Lincoln said that is not taught in history class is that he said at one point, he said, I'm opposed to slavery, but if there's going to be a slave race and a master race, I'd prefer the whites be the masters. And the fact of the matter is that Abraham Lincoln chose the issue of slavery to motivate people into the Civil War, which was really about bringing the South back into the Union, because at that time, Washington, D.C. was very dependent on the tax revenues coming out of those plantations. And they mm-hmm. wanted to bring the Confederacy back in, much as the way Europe is trying to find a way to bring Great Britain back in.
That's correct. And, you know, Michael, if you look at Liberia right now in Monrovia, they had a documentary on that on Discovery Channel 5 months ago. I watched it. It is one big giant dump. I mean, it's unbelievable. On the coast of Liberia, it was 40 miles of this, like Mount Trashmore. And it was just a big, massive dump. And the people are literally going there taking food. I mean, that's what happened. Look what's going on in Africa now.
Yeah,
we still have slavery.
Yeah, there is. There's still cannibalism going on over there. And it's going to be a very hard place to bring under control. And that Congo especially has eaten up a lot of adventurers who thought that they could make a fast buck there.
There's no question about it, Michael. But one more thing, I'll let you go because I know you have other callers and all. Is what's going on with DACA. I'm telling you, if these Republicans cave in on DACA, Michael, it's over for the Republican Party. Because nobody, the Republican people ain't going to come out to vote. They're going to say, "Screw it! It's all in the fix."
I agree with you.
I
don't know why the GOP isn't supporting Donald Trump. Because by not supporting him, they are cutting their own throats, politically speaking.
Absolutely, for 50 years, it'll be a 50-year event. Because people like me, I won't even vote next time if they allow DACA to go through. Because you know what? You might as well have sanctuaries for everything. And you might as well bring 5 million Chinese over here.
Yeah, a sanctuary for everybody except the American people.
That's correct.
Okay.
Hey, Michael, you know it. And all right, God bless. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go and switch over to Curtis in Nevada. Aloha, Curtis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I've been listening earlier talking about the NFL. I just... As an NFL watcher, follower for over 50 years, I got to say that I think that before these protests started, I noticed a drop off, and I thought it was just me, you know, like I'm getting older and I'm just not interested. But the truth is that the NFL has changed. There's less intensity. The players seem to be going through emotions now, and I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of them are getting hurt, not just the head trauma, but they're just getting hurt for non-contact things, which leads me to believe that it's possible that nutritionally wise, along with, you know, everything else that they're doing to us, that it's starting to show on the field, because you cannot, keep up the intensity that they play with and not get hurt. And now they're getting hurt with more frequency. And they know that. They kind of know that. It seems I've noticed that with you.
There are some other factors. It was noticed when stadiums stopped using real natural grass and switched to AstroTurf that the runners were all of a sudden running a lot faster, and that means they build up more kinetic energy. And then, of course, the equipment itself is getting lighter, at the same time. And so
exactly,
those
right,
are
that's
factors
true, for sure.
As well, along with nutrition. I would presume that with the amount of money the NFL players are being paid, that they can afford the very best, healthiest food possible. Again,
still
many of them may be
yeah.
out there not thinking about the game so much as about getting another product endorsement or something like that.
Right, they make more business decisions now. And also, too, that what you're going to see, I think, in the next 10 years is the NFL is going to become down to the level of what you would see the wrestling, because the truth is this generation that's just starting to become prominent, they don't really care about the NFL the way that our generation did. You know, they really don't. It's an American tradition that's dying.
Yes.
And I honestly believe that you're going to see soccer is going to become more prominent.
Well, I think sports in general are starting to lose their appeal because of the virtual entertainments simply being more intense and more interactive. So I think probably the decline in interest in spectator sports is that people don't want to be spectators. They want to be participants, and computer games allow them to do that.
Yeah, that's also another factor. If I can, I'd like to make a comment on this whole feminist type of harassment thing that's been happening in the last several months. But I think that basically what we're seeing with all this people being accused on both sides, you know, not just the left-right thing, but everybody, it's like I think a short-term thing is that it's an all-out effort to prevent Roy Moore, because if you throw enough accusations from everyone, you can't just say it's a one-sided thing. So we have to convict everybody on accusations.
We should never convict anybody on an accusation. Roy Moore deserves his day in court like anybody else, and we've already discovered, you know, that his earlier accusers, their stories are falling apart.
Right. But, you know, the thing is that small percentage of people that don't care, they just, what they hear, the first, you know, what they hear, that's all they retain. So they're not going to dig into it and find out the truth and really break it down. They're just going to, they just need to prevent this guy from taking office. And in the long term.
Okay, well, Curtis, we're going to have to let you go for a break for commercials. And you're right, there's talk in the Senate of simply refusing him his seat. We'll be right back. Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones. James in Ohio. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. The idea that the violent crime rate is in a decline, I'm extremely dubious about. I live a few blocks from the Golden Lamb where presidents have stayed, and the last one was W. He gave a speech from there, and I moved here specifically to get away from higher crime areas, and yet the county jail recently had to release all the misdemeanor people so they could keep the felonies, an overwhelming percentage of which are people busted with syringes and heroin, cocaine, or methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hear the crime statistics from Chicago, and you consider all the other metro areas, Detroit, Baltimore, et cetera, L.A., Miami. I just don't see a reason why violent crime should decline. They're no less economically depressed, and I just somehow think that the books are being cooked on that issue.
Well, another the government's thing, cooking the books on pretty much everything else, like the true unemployment numbers, the rate of inflation, and so forth. They're not going to say violent crime is going up, because then the people are going to say, well, stop spending all this money on war and start getting our police to do their jobs. So, we're at Soviet Union-style levels of propaganda against the American people.
I do believe that burglaries at homes and home invasions have probably declined because there are so many guns, but I don't see other crimes, you know. And if you've ever known any junkies, they will do, or have them around you, they'll do anything. They have no, they're disinhibited. They have no self-control.
That's
also, as far as medical care, it seems like everybody I know has someone, at least in their immediate family, who has suffered from at least, you would call it malpractice, but it seems like doctors and nurses are making mistakes. In fact, I, my father, and my brother almost lost their lives due to, at the very least, what you call medical malpractice. It almost seems like it was purposeful. My father, they tripled his medication. My brother, they gave him, he's a cardiac patient, they prescribed a medication that includes Sudafed, and I had a perforated ulcer, and they let me ride it out and get better, which that's like having an appendix ready to burst. If you get an infection,
yep,
the survival rate is 50%.
Well, I went through that with both my youngest brother and my father, and even with my mother. To this day, I don't know if she died of the cancer or if she died of the cancer treatment.
Yeah, well, but it seems like easily diagnosable things are they're making mistakes on medication that seem like
when I had my trip to the hospital, there were two wrong diagnoses before they finally figured out what was going on, and by that time I wound up with a 10-day stay in the hospital, which I did not enjoy. Have to let you go. Got to do station identification. We'll be right back. America, welcome back to our show. Hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And, boy, the rain is coming down out there. We're under this big weather system. It's probably going to be wet for the next few days. Let's go on back to the telephones. Chris in Florida, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Michael, have you heard of the Wigner effect?
No, I have not.
Well, it may be what's in common between the apparent increase in the planes falling apart, both the military and commercial, and the increase in the NFL athletes' injuries. Their fragility may be caused by the Wigner effect from radiation from reactors like Fukushima having melted down. And I learned about the Wigner effect where you can learn a lot more of the reportage of these types of incidents of, buildings falling apart, just anything structural falling apart as a result of a radioactive contamination from Radchik. And her website is radchikblog.wordpress.com, and she has a YouTube channel that you can look up just called Radchik.
I'm familiar with the effect that you describe, because one of the reasons nuclear reactors are built with a specific lifespan is because the intense neutron bombardment coming from the reactor core will erode and weaken the pressure vessel, which is why it's so dangerous when they say, well, we think it's okay, we're going to extend its useful life another 5 years. But the amount of radiation it takes to have a visible effect is very, very high, and I don't know that that's necessarily a factor with the NFL players. Now, for airplanes that fly at high altitudes, yeah, there's a little more radiation there than you would have down on the ground, and it's something that people who travel a lot do need to be aware of. That you're getting cosmic rays and a bunch of other stuff coming from space here. But, I don't think so with the football players. I mean, unless they built a stadium over a nuclear waste dump.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, that was just my theory. Radchik doesn't mention the NFL players as far as I know. It was just since that last caller brought it up, when I was reading the Wigner effect on Wikipedia, it seems to be pretty detailed. As you mentioned, the neutron radiation replacing or inserting itself into structures, basically. So I don't know about the health effects, but it just seems to reason. And if you want to look up her site, her YouTube channel, there's an interesting video. Since you're in Hawaii, the video is entitled Sickness and Rads in Hawaii, mm-hmm, from Lauren Morey is featured in that video, and it shows a lot of horrific mutants like with pineapples. And so I just wanted to mention that, and perhaps, as I mentioned before, lasers, one might be a solution. If you do a search of the term laser radioactive waste decay, you can find items like patent 633-1774 and from the Helsinki University of Technology and other universities, they found that lasers could be used for neutralizing radioactive waste even in water. If you add the term water to your search term, laser radioactive waste decay water, you can find other information. So I'm not a physicist. I would just like to know or see this kind of solution tested when we have the waters, the radioactive waters contaminating the world. So I just wanted to, you know, run the Wigner effect by you because it does seem like planes are falling out of the sky a lot more than they used to before Fukushima.
Well, that may be as much value engineering the aircraft to increase profitability as much as the radiation. Certainly, fatigue on the short routes is a problem. We actually had an incident here in Hawaii many years ago where the aircraft were just going back and forth between the islands, and all of a sudden the roof blew off, and everybody was trying to figure out what was going on because the aircraft was almost brand new. And that's when they realized that it isn't time in the air that ages the aircraft. It's the cycle, which is takeoff to altitude to land again. And so these aircraft were accumulating cycles at a very rapid rate. Now, as far as lasers, they can be used to basically, using photonic pressure, move very tiny particles through a liquid. But it's a very expensive, energy-costing process. I don't think it could be applied to a large volume of water. And as far as Fukushima radiation here in Hawaii, again, we had that story out of UH Manoa a week ago, that it has hit us a lot harder than anybody had expected, and I actually had a pineapple. I really do grow pineapples in the backyard. We had a pineapple a while back that had two crowns on the top of it, which I understand is a very, very rare mutation. Anyway, Chris, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go, and we're going to switch over to Terry in Oregon. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I used to be a big fan of 60 Minutes.
Yes.
And it's become a propaganda arm over the last couple years.
Yes.
Did you see it last night?
No, I didn't. I don't watch it anymore either. In fact, I haven't watched it since they did their Jennifer Flowers segment, which was definitely, edited to help Bill Clinton. And the executive producer, Don Hewitt's actually on video admitting that, 60 Minutes edited that segment to discredit Jennifer Flowers and help Bill Clinton win the nomination.
Yeah, well, last night, or it seems like every other week, they have two stories that are straight and one story that's complete propaganda. Like last night, Scott Pelley came on and said, Bashar al-Assad is willing to destroy his whole country and to kill thousands of its citizens, women and children, just to maintain power. And then they took the camera inside this hospital, and this hospital had, like, this young American doctor, and he's telling them about doing all these operations with the bombs coming in and all that. And they showed all these poor kids that were had their limbs blown off and all this sort of thing. And the insinuation was that Assad was doing it, you know. Of course, he didn't mention, Doctors Beyond Borders, you know, those tents that were blown up by U.S. airstrikes, you know,
yes,
a year ago or so, whenever that was. And so 60 Minutes, you just got to be careful. They had so many that, it's just propaganda. And the other thing was, you know, people say, I don't watch CNN or MSNBC. I watch Fox News because I'm conservative. Well, last week I went to breakfast at the VFW, and they sat me in front of the TV on Sunday morning. They had Fox News on, and they had this talk program, and it was just totally neocon stuff. They had, Russia's bad, Iran's bad, and they want to take, all the typical party line there for the neocons. And then they had John Bolton, the ultimate neocon, you know, as a commentator, and they get him on regularly, you know, to spout his views, and you know what they are. But anyway, you know, you can't trust CBS 60 Minutes, which is you know, CBS, and then you can't trust Fox News. I don't think, you know, but there's people out there that are, I keep saying that people are starting to wake up, but then I don't know, because you got these prominent figures in my community. I mean, you know, intelligent people, you know, doctors, lawyers, whatever they are, teachers, and they believe the party line from the government, you know, so I'm not sure that we got a
chance. There's a lot of people who are still in denial about what's going on, and the problem is we've all been raised to think that we're good human beings, that we would have the courage to stand up against bad government or injustice, but when you're actually confronted with it, then you have to make that choice. And a lot of people don't want to make that choice, because to take action against corrupt government brings with it risks. But to know the government is corrupt and not do anything means you have to surrender your self-image of being a good human being. And most people don't want to deal with that. And people who are in that state of denial, they will gratefully grasp every little piece of propaganda that they're fed so that they can go on saying, I'm a brave human being, I'm an honorable human being, I would fight against injustice. I just don't see a reason to have to do it right now. And it is a gross self-deception. But again, the number of those people is dwindling. The audience of the corporate media is continuing to decline. The audience of the independent media is continuing to grow, which is why we're under constant attack by these various computer hackers and such.
Yeah, well, my daughter is, I think, fairly intelligent. She's up there, and she doesn't want to believe that she lives in a country that's not like candy apple green, red, you know? That's perfect.
Well, you just said it right there.
You know,
it's a belief. It's a belief, and it's very hard to change a belief. She's just going to have that crisis, that apotheosis, where all of a sudden it forces itself on her, the reality of this nation. And it's only a matter of time before it happens. I mean, mine began.
I just wanted to make that point.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
All right. We'll let you go then. Thanks an awful lot. And we're going to switch over to Rick in Arizona. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike. Can you explain why that the players in rugby that don't wear equipment have far less bad injuries than the football players in America that wear full equipment?
Well, because I would speculate, and this is just a speculation, the rugby players know they're not protected, and so they're always going to be thinking in terms of, I'm not going to slam into this guy because I could break a kneecap, whereas the American-style football players, they feel like they're armored knights. They've got the padding, they got the helmets, and so they just go ahead and crash into each other. Again, the protection isn't as good, and so as a result, they get more injuries. That's just a guess on my part, but I think that's probably what's going on.
Okay, well, I would say that it's probably because you don't have 300-pound people crashing into 220-pound people. They crash into each other just as bad as the NFL. They don't even wear equipment. I call that the refrigerator effect. Remember Rich Perry for the Chicago Bears years ago? He's like the first 300-pounder.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is. You can't be out there getting crashed into by guys that are 300 pounds, no matter if you're wearing equipment or not. I mean, these guys in rugby, they crash into each other all the time, and there's injuries there here and there, but it's a fraction of the NFL by a long shot. So that's all I got to say. Thanks, Mike.
All right, well, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. Get on back to the news here, and first we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining our network. Now, getting on back to the area of computers and computer technology, apparently Israel has arrested 280 Palestinians since the start of the Quds uprising in October of 2015 for posts on Facebook. That's it. They're detaining these people. They're arresting them because they're posting on Facebook things that Israel doesn't like, or they're liking other people's posts that Israel doesn't like. So whenever anybody in this country says we have to protect Israel and give them our money because they're the only democracy in the Middle East, you can let them know they're not really very democratic over there, are they? Now, finally, the hackers have done something I actually agree with. apparently hackers got in to some of the ISIS channels and started posting pornographic pictures, which, if you will understand, in Islam, it's considered a mortal sin to look at a naked woman, not your wife, which is how we know the guy who was in that house at Abbottabad wasn't really a Muslim, because they found pornography all over the place. And so apparently in one of the images, the hackers photoshopped a naked woman onto an announcement about a media center being opened in a part of Syria, which at the time was under control of ISIS. And the idea was to make it look as though the ISIS leaders had been viewing pornography. And this is all coming from the Iraqi hacking group, Daeshgram. So, well done. If only all hackers had such high and noble ideals. Getting into the realm of political correctness, and it seems that every week that goes by, it just gets sillier and sillier and sillier. Apparently, there is now a movement to take Sleeping Beauty out of the curriculum of schools because the princess doesn't give her consent to be kissed and awakened by the prince. That's the new thinking. Oh, he assaulted her. He kissed her. And even though it woke her up from her endless sleep, he did it without her permission. This next one is really hitting the bottom of the barrel. Apparently, there is a movement to get churches to stop referring to God in male terms, to make services gender neutral and more inclusive. It really is getting out of there. Now, as you know, over the last several weeks, I have talked about the poor quality of the United States Postal Service. And the most recent example, of course, was I ordered some sheet music for Claire's choir from a company on the mainland, and I got the tracking, and it took 8 weeks from the day it was mailed to get here. And now that we're into the holiday season, things are straining a little bit. And so there's this article out of Oroz.com, and they're quoting a CBS affiliate that is basically saying that the USPS is faking Amazon delivery records so customers don't get free stuff. Because apparently, if your package does not arrive on time, Amazon makes nice with you by giving you something free. Nothing major, but there it is. But apparently, according to the CBS, this getting an Amazon package after it's due, they're faking the records so that Amazon is off the hook. Now, as long as we're talking about Fukushima, which we were just a little while ago, remember the ice wall? They were going to drive these refrigerant pipes down into the ground, they were going to flood it with water, and they were going to freeze it solid. And they've spent about $300 million on this ice wall, and it's not working. Imagine my shock. Because back when they were suggesting it, I said, there are compelling reasons why this is not going to work. And I hate to say I told you so, but no, actually, I rather enjoy it. I love being able to say, I told you so. I told you it wasn't going to work. So apparently, because the ice wall isn't working and they don't know what else to do, Japan is now planning to dump 1 million tons of highly radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. I wonder what the fish are going to think about that. And we've been hearing about collapsing fish populations all over the Pacific Ocean. And they're out there saying, oh, I wonder what it could be. They could be dying of radiation sickness because they're swimming through that radioactive water. And it's not merely exposure, it's contamination. Those radioactive particles get embedded in the gills, they get ingested, and they just stay there until the fish dies. Huge mess. Huge, huge mess. Now, I don't know about where you are, Here in Hawaii, though, we've actually had a bit of a cold snap. Our temperature dropped something like 10 degrees in the last week. And as I said before, we're into this major rainstorm here. If you are a fan of the TV show Outlander, they're currently filming season 4 in Scotland. And apparently, because winter has started harder and earlier than expected, it's actually getting in the way of them filming the show. Which can happen when you're on location. I remember when I was working on Lost, we went through something like 14 days of nonstop rain. But in this case, it's snow and ice. Article out of the Daily Mail, Winter Wonderland style snowing on stunning West Yorkshire. Now, the reality is that more and more people are realizing ClimateGate was a scam. More when we come back. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. So we're talking about human-caused global warming. And there has been reason for skepticism all along. As you know, we are getting snow all over the northern hemisphere. Remember back on March 20th, 2000, banner headlines, snowfalls are now a thing of the past. And right now, polls are showing that Americans, more than any other country, are rejecting this whole climate change narrative. We're seeing through the fraud here. And despite this, they're still pushing global warming, climate change, whatever they're branding it this week, with the idea that we can save the world if we'll pay carbon taxes. If we'll reduce our standard of living voluntarily, live in little tiny huts. Feed our homes with cow patties or something. But we've had 30 years of this nonsense, of these bought and paid for scientists and these environmental activists saying the world is on the verge of a global warming apocalypse. Of course, they were saying the same thing back in the 1970s, only then it was the coming ice age. And they're pushing the agenda that we have to ban fossil fuels, coal, natural gas, and oil. They don't say what they want to replace it with. And so far, the solar energy and wind farms haven't really even come close. But the reality is, human civilization has not collapsed. The polar bears have not gone extinct. The coasts have not flooded. And they're just out there. 10 years ago, the UN predicted we only had 8 years left to avoid a dangerous global average rise of 2 degrees centigrade. And obviously the UN blew that prediction, but that's not going to stop them. That's not going to stop them at all. And we're just getting more and more of these apocalyptic warnings. And if you read my ClimateGate article, down at the bottom there's a whole bunch of quotes from the lights of the global warming movement. And several of them are out there saying, well, yeah, of course we have to lie to you. We have to make this thing look scary or you won't go along with our agenda. They're admitting they don't really have the science. They have to scare you into paying carbon taxes or buying carbon credits. So, I mean, over in New York Magazine, writer David Wallace Wells did a 7,000-word article claiming global warming could make Earth uninhabitable by the end of this century. Personally, I think we're at greater risk of nuclear war. And, as you know, Al Gore predicted the Arctic would be completely ice-free. I think it was in 2004 he missed that one. Prince Charles, back in 2009, said humanity had only 96 months to save the world from irretrievable climate and ecosystem collapse and all that goes with it. That deadline has passed. We're all still here. So it's all just about scaring you out of your money into obedience. And that's all it ever really was. Because climate is controlled by that fusing ball of hydrogen up in the sky and the changing shape and inclination of Earth's orbit over hundreds of thousands of years. Yes, all life has an impact on climate, but it's microscopic. Carbon dioxide is not a toxic pollutant. It is essential to the cycle of life. If all carbon dioxide vanished, then we'd be in trouble. The plant life would die, and with no food, we would then die. So, again, that's how politicians think. They take something that's happening naturally, they declare it a crisis and an emergency, and then they offer to sell you a solution for a small increase in taxation and a few new laws. And it's a hoax. Remember killer bees? Y2K? All these other hobgoblins that we were fed by the corporate media to scare us into buying new software for the computer or being afraid of honey or something. And that's what it is. Ultimately, when you get right down to it, we, the American people, are the most lied to people on the face of the earth. We are lied to on a scale that would make Hermann Goering blush. We're lied to on a scale that even exceeds the worst abuses of the former Soviet Union. And you need to understand that you are being lied to. The corporate media and the government have tried to build a real-world matrix around you. Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Let's take some phone calls, starting with Kevin in West Virginia. Aloha, Kevin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mr. Mike. I hope you had a wonderful and happy Thanksgiving.
I absolutely did. Claire cooked up a fabulous dinner, and other than that, we basically just slept most of the time.
Oh, yeah, I would tip the fan. The reason for my phone call, I have a two-part solution on how to, one, clean out Congress, and two, how to put our country, our representatives on making putting America first. My first thing, it's very controversial, but I propose that Donald Trump gives both chambers, the House and the Senate, a presidential pardon for their crimes, but in return, they have to name their blackmailers to receive the presidential pardon.
That's interesting. I mean, members of Congress would probably insist that the names not be made public because, pardon or not, it would affect their reelection chances. But there's an interesting idea there.
Number two, every senator that has taken the AIPAC pledge needs to be prosecuted for treason. That is pledging allegiance to a foreign nation, and I don't think that's right.
I agree. I was going to say, I don't think it could be construed as treason because technically we're not at war with Israel. But at the very least, these senators ought to be forced to register as a foreign agent along with AIPAC and every other pro-Israel group in the country.
I agree. And it's not that I'm trying to be anti-Semitic at all. I'm saying, you know, these people are supposed to have America's interest at heart. And pledging allegiance to a foreign nation, I don't think that's putting America, you know, first.
Well, I always hold that no government can serve two masters, and a government that serves Israel cannot, does not, and will not serve the American people. So we need a government that puts America first, second, and third, and Israel gets slid way on down near the bottom of the list.
I agree. I mean, they're my proposals. The first one, like I said, very controversial, but I believe, to receive the presidential pardon, they have to name their blackmailers, whether it be in a closed setting or private setting, and the federal resources need to go after the blackmailers.
I agree.
But that's all I have for you, sir. I hope you have a wonderful and have a happy day.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, again, when we're looking at all these allegations of wrongdoing by members of Congress, and again, we shouldn't do anything until there's been an indictment, a trial, and people are actually convicted. But when members of Congress engage in this kind of behavior, it's like they're opening themselves up to be blackmailed. And you have to wonder, what is their thinking? When somebody gets elected to that office and then all of a sudden they say, oh, it's time for the party, and they don't realize that they are going to be blackmailed. And again, I can't imagine why anybody would fly down to Jeff Epstein's island knowing that it just has to be loaded with microphones and hidden cameras. I just don't get it. I don't get the thinking. Anyway, we're going to take another phone call. Sherry in Fredericksburg, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Mike. You know, you were talking about all this nonsense that's being pushed on us, all the things that the shapers of our society want us to believe. And I was thinking, I was making a comparison here between artificial intelligence, and you were calling it market hype, and I think you're right on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And comparing it to the Mandela effect. It's the stuff they want us to believe that's so insane. It's like with the Mandela effect, they wanted us to believe that the universe is changing, that something is changing in our reality, and you can't believe what you know because things are just miraculously becoming different, you know? And then I look at artificial intelligence, which is really well named, and they'll probably want to change the name because artificial, I mean, it means fraud, it means fake, it means contrived and all this stuff, but it's like, it's the same thing, you know, don't believe what you believe. They want us to believe that we can know more than what the universe can provide, it's like they're trying to create another God, a God with a small G, you know, for us to follow. And they're targeting our children. They're drugging our children, and then they're forcing on them in the schools and through these insane artificial intelligence and Mandela effect, all these strange notions like we can't believe our reality anymore. And we're not buying it. We're just not buying it because the universe is not going to change. You know, it's the one constant.
I mean, technically, the universe is always changing. But this idea that I haven't really heard anything about this agenda to say we shouldn't trust our own senses. Certainly, the corporate media doesn't want us to be using our own senses. They want to simply feed information directly into our brains and be believed. But that's a far cry away from convincing people that they are living in a matrix and absolutely everything around them is fake. Much of it is, but it's all coming out of that corporate media and government spokesman.
Yes, we see this, and I don't know why they're underestimating us and making themselves look like fools because it is a bunch of fake and false stuff.
Well, they've been doing that all along. They've been doing that all along. The one thing that's been working in our favor all along is that the people who are in charge of the deep state propaganda, if you will, they're still playing the game by the rules that worked in the 1950s and 1960s because they did work back then when the American people were more naive and more trusting. But it's a very different reality today. Americans are skeptical. Trust in the government and the corporate media is at all-time record lows. And as long as they keep trying to play the game by the rules that used to work but don't any longer, they are doomed to fail.
Yes, and they're trying to create a mind receptive to this idea. When they talk about chips in our heads and all this kind of stuff, and drugging kids, they're trying to create a mind that will be receptive to it. And that's disturbing, but none of it's going to work. It's just not.
That's a subject for maybe a few years from now. I remember a few years ago, there was actually a research being done on a chemical that could be delivered in an aerosol that would suspend people's disbelief. And the idea was it was going to be used by military leaders to get their soldiers all ramped up, politicians during speeches, and, of course, every used car salesman in the country. But I guess they did not succeed with that because I've heard nothing more about it since then.
I guess not.
Okay, Sherry, anything else?
Thank you.
All right, we're going to let you...
No, that's it.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. and get on back to the news here. Finishing up on ClimateGate, apparently Al Gore has not had a really good year, especially here in the United States, where so many people aren't buying into this global warming, climate change. And so apparently in a last desperate gasp to try and salvage things, he's going to do another 24-hour-long broadcast to sound the alarm on man-made global warming. And Gore's environmental group is going to put on 24 Hours of Reality sometime early December, and it will feature celebrity guest appearances, including actress Helen Hunt, musical performances, and segments on what different parts of the world are doing about global warming. So he's not quit trying. Still wants you to buy and sell his carbon credits here. Now, speaking of something else that hasn't really worked on Al, you've probably heard the phrase dark matter in various programs about the universe. And there's never been any evidence for it, but it came about because in order to make the Big Bang work, looking out into the universe and trying to get all the equations so that everything is coming back, defeating gravitational attraction and everything, the numbers could never work on out. The only way they could work out is the universe had to have much more mass. And therefore, if that mass was out there and we couldn't see it, it was dark matter. Huzzah, huzzah, we've solved it. We protected the Big Bang, and the dark matter has to be out there. And since then, they have spent a ton of money and a lot of time trying to document the existence of dark matter. They have not been able to find it. They haven't even been able to synthesize it in the particle accelerators. And once again, this is another epicycle, because the Big Bang is just religion disguised as science. And it really doesn't work out. And there's a wide variety of reasons why it's time to go back and question that prime assumption. First and foremost being that the redshift we observe in the universe is only caused by relative velocity. And that's not true. There are other mechanisms that can cause a redshift over distance, like Rayleigh scattering. But everybody loves the Big Bang because it fits in with their religion and a divine creation. Except it doesn't really work. Especially since Einstein's theory of general relativity, it was obvious at that point the theory should have been tossed. And instead, there's this whole new cosmology about the Big Bang giving off massless matter. And then a particle called the Higgs boson, and when they're conveniently far enough away from the singularity caused by the expanding universe, they mix together. You know, kind of like the two tubes of epoxy, and out of it comes normal matter with mass, and the universe starts to act the way it does today. And they have spent a huge amount of money and a lot of time trying to find the Higgs boson. And they found something that's kind of, sort of, maybe like it. But again, we don't know if this is actually a fundamental particle of nature or something created in those accelerators. Particle physicists like to joke that particle physics is like taking two old mechanical clocks and you bang them together and you figure out what the clocks look like based on all the gears and springs that fly on out of the collision. But to take that analogy one step further, you can slam those clocks together so hard that individual teeth break off the gears and come flying out as discrete objects. And yet you know, prior to the collision, they were not discrete objects. And that right there, I think, is the primary failing of this high-energy physics. There's no way to tell if they're actually finding a fundamental particle of nature, or they're just creating something as a result of the experimental process. Now, over in Indonesia, in Bali, they're having a rough time. Mount Agung has erupted for a second time. It's a huge eruption, and they're calling for evacuation of something like 100,000 people. All air traffic at Bali's international airport has been halted because of the severe damage that airplanes will suffer flying through that volcanic ash. And the term volcanic ash is a bit of a misnomer. It's actually finely powdered glass. It's not ash like you would have in a fireplace after you burn some wood. and it's very dangerous. You have to be very careful you don't inhale it. If too much of it accumulates on a roof, it can collapse your house because it's very, very heavy. It's basically, it's ground up rock. The fact that it's a powder doesn't make it any less heavy. And so they're dealing with that over there right now. Meanwhile, there is concern at New Zealand's Mount Ruapeha, where apparently volcanic gas emissions and the crater lake temperature are increasing. And so there's a concern there could be an eruption there. The last eruption there took place in 2007. And there's no question that there has been an increase in volcanic and seismic activity around the Ring of Fire in recent months. So something's shifting, something's adjusting here. Now, over in Malibu, California, where so many of the stars like to live, and it is a beautiful town, apparently the church there has been told by Malibu officials to stop serving food to the homeless because it was luring homeless people in. Yeah, people get hungry, they're going to go where the food is. And I think that's an absolutely disgusting thing. These are human beings. And no, they're not movie stars, and no, they're not the elite, and they're not the beautiful people. But they are human beings, and we are connected to those people. And especially coming on top of this Harvey Weinstein scandal and all these other stars who've just been outed for some very sleazy behavior, you'd think that Hollywood stardom, including those who live in Malibu, might want to be thinking about improving their public image. This is not it, to tell a church to stop feeding the homeless because you're just going to get more homeless. It's absolutely, absolutely disgusting. Now, apparently over at YouTube, there's some kind of a glitch that has shut down several of YouTube's biggest stars' channels. They just vanished. And as I've said before, the current state of the art of American software is abysmal. And part of the reason is cost-cutting in the declining economy. And part of the reason is because computer hardware and software makers are indemnified against product liability lawsuits. That needs to change. But apparently YouTube is now starting to see a flight of advertisers because apparently there's a lot of pedophilia material showing up on YouTube. And their autocomplete in the search engine is leading to it. Boy, oh boy, is that a major, major goof here. So, apparently over in Great Britain, 60% of children referred for mental health care are sent home without treatment. This may be a good thing, because of the harm these prescription psychiatric medications can do. And so that may be a sign of a positive outcome. We've got to take a break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program after these few words. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Last segment of our program today. And speaking of AI, apparently Anthony Lewandowski, who was a major part of Google's self-driving car program, has set up a religious nonprofit organization called Way of the Future, devoted to the worship of artificial intelligence. That's getting a little bit out there. It's like worshiping your air conditioner, which on a really hot day, some people do. But apparently, according to the organization's founding documents, they plan to develop and promote the realization of a Godhead based on artificial intelligence, and through understanding and worship of the Godhead, contribute to the betterment of society. This is sounding an awful lot like Scientology, only with AI instead of Xenu. And apparently he's actually working on writing or building this AI computer that will be the centerpiece of their worship. And it will be interesting to see what he comes up with. As I mentioned before, intelligence is not an either-or situation. It's a continuum. Many life forms are intelligent. Dolphins appear to be more intelligent than we are. They've been able to speak several words of our language. Nobody can yet figure out a word of theirs. There's a clue right there. But it's a continuum. And I think machine intelligence, if you don't like the word artificial, is definitely progressing. But I don't know if it can really pass the Turing test, because most of these so-called AI systems, like Siri, the little in-home devices, they're working in a limited context. They don't have to adapt to a wider world. They don't have to grow and change with new experiences. And it is possible to trip them up. Now, the people who write Siri have already programmed it for certain loaded questions with humorous answers, which is actually quite a lot of fun to do if you don't have anything better. But again, the Turing test is, if you communicate with a computer, whether by keyboard or microphone, is irrelevant, and you cannot distinguish the responses you get from the machine from a human, then it's thinking. That's according to Alan Turing, who helped crack the German Enigma code. And I think part of the problem is going to be, to get to consciousness, the machine has to be aware not only of its own self and its thoughts. There's going to have to be some kind of a physical sensorium to connect that artificial intelligence with the environment, with the world. Just a microphone and a speaker, I don't think, is going to be enough, or even a TV camera, to make a machine truly intelligent and self-aware. But that's just my opinion. Somebody just posted this wonderful video from 1994 in which Senator Dianne Feinstein urges we must secure our borders because illegal aliens compete for housing, classroom space, Medicaid, and commit felonies. Boy, how the worm has turned. There's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. I got to drop a new computer into this audio chain and see if that clears up some of our problems. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay tuned for John Stedmiller's program. He's got a lot of wonderful things to share with you. Please take what you learn here, share it everywhere that you can. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.